As the Lord may be pleased to help me, I will direct your attention to the prophecy of Jeremiah, chapter 17, and reading verse 14. Jeremiah 17, verse 14. Heal me, O Lord, and I shall be healed. Save me, and I shall be saved. For thou art my praise. Heal me, O Lord, and I shall be healed. Save me, and I shall be saved. For thou art my praise. Jeremiah has set before us in this chapter what we need to be healed from. It is not just a bodily ailment that he is referring to, but rather the sinful condition of the mind and spirit of man. It is not a man without a religion, but a man with a dead religion. A man without a real religion. For in verse 9 he says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? And this was the case in Jeremiah's day, and so it is in the day in which we live. Friend, what a solemn thing it is to have a dead religion. For he speaks in verse 5, he said, thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man and maketh flesh his arm, and whose heart departeth from the Lord. We have here various symptoms, have we not? And what a solemn symptom that is today, whose heart departeth from the Lord. So we see this prayer here set as an oasis in the middle of this chapter. Heal me, O Lord, and I shall be healed. Like most diseases, they're either contagious or infectious. If we live amongst such diseases, it is in all probability that we shall contract that disease or become like those that we live amongst and are found practicing the evil ways and prayers and profession that is known in the day in which we live. Because God has said, with regards to such people who do these things, I will cause thee to serve thine enemies in the land which thou knowest not. For ye have kindled a fire in mine anger, which shall burn forever. What a solemn thing that is. An anger that will burn forever. And what may be, what do we see in this? Well, we know in God's anger, Judah was carried away into captivity. But not in, but the anger of the Lord ceased, as it were, after 70 years. And he brought his, many of his people back again. But he speaks of it as burning forever. That is, as referring to those who did not repent, who had no heart to repent, who were self-satisfied. Yes, who took the name of the Lord, their God, in vain. So Jeremiah here says, heal me, save me, Lord, from this. Oh, how can we be immune from a verbal religion, a religion that is dead? We have this parable set before us in verse 11. As the partridge sitteth on eggs and hatcheth them not, so he that getteth riches and not by right shall leave them in the midst of his days, and at the, his end shall be a fool. Evidently, a partridge that has not indeed a cockbird to be with will still lay her eggs, and her eggs being unfertile, she goes on sitting on them and expecting something to happen to bring forth chicks, but nothing does happen. All that is found under her is eggs that have gone bad and no life, but only corruption in them. It, when you look at it like this, it is a solemn illustration. And so it says, he that getteth riches and not by right shall leave them in the midst of his days, and at his end shall be a fool. Now, what riches Jeremiah is speaking to of, I'm not clear, but whatever men might term to be riches, those things that they are pleased with, those things that they are self-satisfied with, riches that they, things that they might use to their own advantage, but in the end, he says, they shall be as a fool. My friend, a fool at the end of his days, he can only bring forth shame and disgrace upon his name. And he's shown up for what he is. How sensitive Jeremiah was to these things. What a man he was, so often on his own, and very little support did he have of other men. Yet, my friend, he was faithful, was he not? Though Jeremiah was so faithful, he was not proud of himself. He did not set himself forth as somebody that could be relied on because of what he was. But you know, as every child of God, his whole reliance is upon Almighty God and all that he can do in him and for him. So Jeremiah here says, heal me, O Lord, I shall be healed. Save me, and I shall be saved, for thou art my praise. O Lord, the hope of Israel, all that forsake thee shall be ashamed. So then, this word here this morning, it centers very much around this, the people forsaking God. You say, can that be? Can that be? Indeed, it can be. Forsaking God, forsaking His Word, has been the downfall of His people right down through the ages. Forsaking the way of righteousness. Isn't this what Jeremiah has stood for? In the next chapter we read this, O house of Israel, cannot I do with you as this potter, saith the Lord? Behold, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are ye in mine hand, O house of Israel. At what instant I shall speak concerning a nation, concerning a kingdom, to pluck up and to pull down and to destroy it. If that nation against whom I have pronounced turn from their evil, I will repent, and the evil that I thought to do unto them. Oh, how we need to be healed, then, from turning away from God, and that we might turn to Him again. I verily believe this is the only answer for you and for me. I believe this is the only answer for this congregation, the gatherings of the people here. I believe this to be the only answer of the Church of God today, yea, our nation, is to turn again unto God. And I ask the question, how is it with you? Have you a desire to return unto Him? And what will it entail then in turning again to Him? It will mean a forsaking a lot of those things that we have imbibed. It will mean turning again to God for our utter dependence upon Him. For in this day, in comparative affluence, we've become very much independent, and we've thus have become as creatures that please ourselves. Heal me, O Lord, and I shall be healed. Oh, how we need the Lord. Oh, to come and heal us. Oh, to deliver us from that awful spirit of independence, which breeds the love of the world and the things of this world. Remember this. Affluence often opens many doors of opportunity to do wrong and evil in his sight. No wonder then Jesus said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Heal me. The great need, friend, to be healed, because time is fast hastening away. eternity is near. How we need to be healed, to, if we are his people, to stand right in the sight of God in the great judgment day. Heal me. Oh, cleanse me from all that is sinful and all that is evil. Oh, a confession then, of our sin will be found in healing. If there's a confession of sin, and it's right before God, and not just mere lip service, there must be the spirit of repentance abounding too. That is, to leave the sins we once so loved, and in earnest prove by doing so no more. Heal me. Oh, I say, it's not sufficient for us to say, well, this is the way we have been brought up. This is the way my parents did it. This is the way my grandparents did it, and so on. Oh, did not Jeremiah also say, ye shall no more say, the fathers have eaten the sour grape and set the children's teeth on edge. That is a worn out excuse. You and I have the word of God before us. And we have indeed the direction in the word of God, what we should be doing, what we should be saying, and what we should be thinking. Heal me. Friend, there is such a thing as resting entirely upon the opinions of man. And in that solemn judgment day, that awakening, it will not be sufficient for us to say, oh, but I didn't know any different. That's the way I was taught. Friend, I say, cleave to that which we have been taught from childhood, all the while it is consistent with the word of God. But if it's contrary to the word of God, then surely that is wrong. Heal me. Heal me from that proud look to think that we are better than other people, or thinking that there's only hope for us and no hope for other people. Surely the searching thing is this: am I made a real Christian? Am I ready to meet God? I say, are we washed in the precious blood of Jesus Christ? Friend, we need the Lord Jesus Christ and him alone to heal us and to restore us. The Apostle Paul has said, except ye have the Spirit of Christ, ye are none of his. Now show me, direct me to those people who naturally have the Spirit of Christ, who seek to know nothing else than to do the Father's will. My friend, whose righteousness to them is as filthy rags, and are dependent upon the righteousness of Jesus. Friend, they're not to be found. What is our state and what is our condition? Not in our own eyes, but in the eyes of Almighty God. What a rude awakening the coming of Christ and his teaching was unto the Pharisees, because they really did believe that they were the Lord's only people. Yes, I say how we need to be healed from this Pharisaic pride. And when we hear that those, it said quite often, but they're not one of us. We need to ask the question, then, who am I? Where am I? And what have I to do with Christ? And what has he to do with me? Has he made a difference within me? Has he changed me? Has he humbled me under his almighty hand and brought me at his cross to lie? Heal me. Friend, what can heal us from these sins that are so indelibly dyed? Oh, those, as we stand before God and we know nothing of them, or we don't want to know. Friend, did not one say, wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow? I say, how David had such a deep lesson to learn when he fell as he did. Yes, he could judge and sit in judgment of other people without any care or compunction about his own doings and his own evil ways. And you know, you and I can be in that same frame of mind and that same spirit. The words of judgment may be right and accurate, but what hypocrisy was discovered when he heard those words, but thou art the man. Thou art the man. I say, what would people say and think of us if they really knew our state and condition? But remembering this, though we may be able to hide our inmost sins from anybody else, yet we're brought to know this, we can hide nothing from Almighty God. Oh, heal me. Oh, of this blindness. Oh, that I have concerning myself. Lord, open my eyes and show me where I am and what I am. Oh, heal me. Lead me unto the fountain for sin and for uncleanness. Oh, lead me to Jesus Christ, who alone can restore me and save my never dying soul. Heal me, O Lord, and I shall be healed. Now we see Jeremiah here. He had a faith in that which he believed in. He didn't say, oh, I just believe and therefore thou art compelled to heal me. No, my friend. He had a God-given faith, and thus he saw his absolute need of the Lord to heal him and deliver him from all his sin and from all his shame. In verse 15, he goes on to say, behold, they say unto me, where is the word of the Lord? Let it come now. And how we need to be healed from that spirit. It could be said, and why do you say such things as that? And what right have you to speak in such a dictatorial way, without any feeling whatsoever for what you are asking? They heard the letter of the word, but they never knew the power of it. Therefore they spoke in this way: heal me, O Lord, and I shall be healed. Lord, I am not worthy of the least of thy mercies. That good centurion that came unto the Lord Jesus Christ, his desire was that he would come and heal, or he'd heal his servant. But such a sight he had of his own self, his own dwelling place, his unworthiness. He said, Lord, I'm not worthy that thou should come under my roof. What a godly man he was. How tender he was. How he had been healed of his Roman haughtiness. Why? He was said, speak thou the word, and he will be healed. The centurion could say, I am a man of authority, and I have men under me, and I say to this one, do that, and he doeth it. Go here, come there. And so he obeyed instantly. Friend, oh, how we need to be healed of querying the word of God, querying it. What does it, why should I have to do this? But perhaps it does not mean this after all. Perhaps there's a little charitableness on the God's part that will allow something different and allow me to please myself. Friend, heal me, that I might know that what God has spoken is for my good, that what God it does is for the best. Heal me, friend. Again and again, we need to be continually healed. Oh, from our own self-righteousness and our pride. Oh, heal me from that very thought that God's word should be relegated, brought down onto a level similar to us, whereby we are unable to debate and hold, as some would say, a good discussion. Oh, I say, the pride and ignorance of man, that they indeed can query the word of God and work something differently out of it. My friend, God doesn't stand by forever and let men do that. There will be a day of reckoning, will there not? There'll be a day of reckoning when the day will be made known to them. You heard my word, you knew my word, you debated it, but you desperately avoided it. It had no affecting power in your heart. Oh, heal me. Oh, lest I be like unto them. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. My friend, the justice of Almighty God. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways. Heal me, O Lord, from saying that thou art not fair, that thou art not just. Yes, how often that is on the lips of men and in their hearts too, rebelling against what God has seen fit to provide for us. Heal me. Heal me, oh, from this also, this sleepiness that Judah had been verily subject unto. And when I say a sleepiness, I mean a spiritual sleepiness. Saying, oh well, I cannot help it. Oh well, I shall have to think about it, knowing full well that we have no intention to alter or change our way. Oh, I say, he tries the reins of man. He knows indeed what governing them and controlling them. We know what controls a horse, do we not? You put a bit and bridle upon him, and from that you have the reins, whether it be the full length of reins or a leader rein. It's to say a riding rein. So indeed, he tries the reins. He knows what's turning you round. He knows indeed what makes you move in certain direction. Oh, I say, how we need to be healed from divisive means to guide us and to direct us. To live as if we were playing a game of chess to outwit and outmaster the other. My friend, you can't do that with God. You can't do that with God. Oh, we need wisdom. We need discretion. But we need it motivated and by love and kindness. Heal me, Lord. Oh, Jeremiah felt it to be so. A great need to be healed. And he believed that Jesus, or God Almighty, could heal him. And I shall be healed. Now I want to come. Oh, as we look, come before him as wretched, vile sinners in his sight. According to his own word, he has said, the man that sinneth shall surely die. Oh, why then, while sin remaineth, it seems that the indictment is always there, and that is death. That is death. But heal me, O Lord. Oh, that thou indeed might taste of death for me. That I might know thou hast tasted of death for me. For Christ Jesus, my friends, he suffered, he bled, he died on Calvary. Oh, that his people may be healed from their sin. But he surely undertook his own self to take those sins upon him, and who did know no sin. So, my friend, he paid the price for them. It does your cry go out to him this day, heal me, O Lord, and I shall be healed. Lord, do pardon me from all my sin. Then and then only can I be acceptable in thy sight. Heal me from all my sin, for then and then only can I die without fear and without mistrust of him. Heal me. Yet believing in him and him alone. Friend, no small mercy. to have that good hope through grace, that full assurance that not only Christ died for sinners, but he died for me. Sometimes it's frowned upon, isn't it, to speak about a good hope through grace. But listen, death is a reality. Death must come upon you, it must come upon me. Death is no respecter of age or persons, is it? Death is no respecter of good works or pleasing frames. No, my friend, it will surely come upon each one of us. Death will surely be the deciding factor of my poor soul, of whether we are sent into eternal perdition or into eternal bliss. Friend, heal me. Oh, Lord, if I am cleansed, oh, from all my sin, through the blood and righteousness of Jesus Christ, there will not be a spot or a shadow left behind. No, my friend, I believe that with my whole heart. I can't go along with one who said, and left a shadow of a spot upon my soul be found. Because I give the reason why. The word which I place above our hymn book says, the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, it cleanseth us from all sin. Oh, the simplicity, the blessedness of it. Let us never lose sight of it. No, heal me and I shall be healed. Oh, I said those wonderful words in Isaiah. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. And though they be as crimson, they shall be as soft as wool. Friend, the purging away of that which was offensive, a purging away of that which was evil and unacceptable before God, a purging away of that which would arouse his anger and wrath, and righteously so. Yes, heal me, and I shall be healed. Oh, bless his dear name, my friend, that there, if there's that healing is there, it will be healed in him once and for evermore. And then he says, save me, and I shall be saved, for thou art my praise. Oh, a knowledge of Jesus, a knowledge of Almighty God, that he is able to save. And do remember this, God doesn't save en bloc. He saves as individuals. As individually we are born dead in trespasses and sins, so we as individuals vitally need that regeneration, or we must be born again. Let us put it and keep it in simple terms. Born again. The old nature is not good enough. Oh, saved from the old nature, but given that new nature, and I shall be saved. Oh, great mercy to know salvation here below. But how wondrous, oh, to look heavenward. I shall be saved. I shall reach those heavenly shores above. I shall reach that eternal bliss, never to turn back again, never indeed to be engulfed by sin and shame, saved indeed from the power of sin. How we feel to need it more and more. For all the while we're in this world here below, we are subject to that power. Yes, where the power of sin that is within us and that is about us. Oh, save me, and I shall be saved. Who has an arm and who has a hand like our God? Who has that power over sin and Satan to save us? Who can open the prison doors and let the prisoner free? My friend, only he that is full of mercy and compassion. Is thy cry heavenward today? Save me, and I shall be saved. Save me indeed from present offences. But I say, save me from past offences too. Save me from the guilt of it, Lord. They're written down, are they not? Even as we have written, as we have it in the first verse, the sin of Judah is written with a pen of iron, and with the point of a diamond it is graven upon the table of their heart. I say, we do not. That does not take much explaining, does it? There's nothing like a diamond for its hardness, that it may for engraving upon anything, because it is the hardest substance that is known, except for sin. So Jeremiah here, he points out, oh, that it is there the evidence of it. And it is sin has done it, and sin has recorded it. Sin, it makes it known, the very nature and condition of man. Oh, save me, and I shall be saved. What can erase that which is engraven upon with the pen of iron and with the point of a diamond? Why, we sometimes look, do we not, on trees and wooden objects and stone, and people have written their name there, and it may be 100 or 100 years ago, and it's still there. Friend, what about our sin? Is it still there? Still there. Save me. Lord, it is written down. It is recorded. It is known by Almighty God. It's not something that can be torn up and cast away. The evident, indeed, evidence of it is in and upon our hearts. Ah, that matter betwixt your soul and God that causes you to cry out, save me, and I shall be saved. That which crops up, as it were, from time to time, and it makes itself manifest, it reminds you, yes, of the past. It reminds us also of the future. For as it was indeed recorded in the past and endured so far, so it will be the same in eternity, except Almighty God save you from the evidence of it. Will it be said, for this poor soul I suffered, I bled and died upon Calvary, I shed my blood, that this sin may be erased once and forever. Oh, save me, save me. Wondrous arms that lift the poor sinner up and hold him to himself. That wondrous arm of salvation that God the Father sent his only begotten Son into the world to seek and to save such sinners that were lost. Save me from being lost. The answer surely is to that is to be found, is it not? Oh, to be found, and found in him alone, as the Apostle Paul speaks. This was his desire. Is it yours also, that I may be found in him, having no righteousness of my own? Amen.